There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. Another couple hours of live local talk. And my favorite place to broadcast, even better than the FM Talk 106.5 studios, my favorite place to broadcast, I am back. They've let me back on board the USS Alabama right here on the Fantail where we do our show. And then at 1 o'clock, Scuttlebutt Radio Network takes over as well. But we're out here. Love for you to come out and say hello and come visit with us today. So we are at USS Alabama Memorial Park. And when we do that, we are always greeted by the Executive Director of Battleship Memorial Park, General Janet Cobb. Good to see you, General.
It is good to see you. Glad to have you back ahead of our weekly midweek thunderstorm crisis, as we've had the last couple of weeks.
Now, it's spring. This happens. And then summertime, it happens.
We're over it.
This spring.
That's right. We've got too much to do here. We've got a lot of work going. First and foremost, the Teak Deck project. I'll talk to you about that in a minute. I want to introduce.
That's a tease.
That's coming up. That's right. It's our radio days.
Yes. So we're going to talk Teak here in a little bit. But yes, somebody new with the crew.
I want to introduce you to Amy Raley Ryan. We were blessed by the Alabama Legislature last year funding our new education program through the Education Trust Fund, and we have just received word that we will be funded again for 23. I was able to get Amy's resume. And she comes to us. She's been at GulfQuest as education director. She's got a phenomenal background. So I'll introduce y'all on the air. Amy's going to talk briefly about what she has ginned up. I mean, at the end of the first week, she'd already aligned our exhibits with the curricula of three states where our visitors come from. So I was like, what did you do the first week you were here? But Amy, this is Sean Sullivan.
Hey, Amy.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Hey, it's great to have you here. And this is something that the General and I have talked about as well, because she knows that I'm always having my younger children out here or, you know, kids with scouts or whatever coming out here. And the education and the link between Battleship Memorial Park and the kids is super important. So I'm glad to know you're here making this to facilitate this.
Oh, absolutely. Kids love coming to Battleship Memorial Park, and it is my pleasure to be able to make that content that they're going to gain during their visit more relative to them, something they can touch hands-on, and the content is going to leave with them. It's not just their coming here to run around the ship all day and play. They're actually learning about World War II and the crewmates of the USS Alabama and how it impacts all of us still today.
Yeah, it's, I mean, a heck of an educational tool, the Mighty A, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're learning about World War II, you're learning about, naval battles to be able right here where you live or in this general area, put your feet on it, touch it, see a living history drill.
Absolutely. And there's so many opportunities here to educate all ages, not just the school kids, kindergarten through 12th grade, but college level, families, traveling, local adult groups coming in. There's just the opportunities are endless.
You know, we've talked about this so many times in the past, the General and I have. You come to the Battleship Memorial Park, especially you have people come in from out of town, you bring them here. But we drive back and forth each day, and some people take it for granted. There's the Alabama, right? That's part of our life. But if they don't come, for a living history drill or take an in-depth tour, there's so much of this ship that you don't see and you miss. I'm pointing at myself. I was guilty of that for a long time.
I think that one thing the staff here at the USS Alabama does really well is updating the exhibit space here, adding new content, so that if you visit last year, it's not going to be the same this year. And that's something that they've been doing for years. We have an excellent curation staff here. And then adding the education component on top of such an already amazing staff, when they visit, it's going to be new every time. So don't just drive by and think, oh, yeah, that's a battleship. I've been there with my kids two or three times. It's different now. So be sure to come back and enjoy it at a different time.
As a director of education programs, too, you've obviously, as the general said, been reaching out, using your contacts, using your knowledge. Let's look at it the other way. Somebody's listening to you right now, Amy, and they're in the education world. They have a group like that. Can they reach out to you and see what's available for them?
Absolutely. I would love to share the amazing programming that's happening here on a daily basis. Teachers can reach out to me via email, through our website. They can call the number here at the USS Alabama. Any of those ways would be great, but you can get me directly at aryan@ussalabama.com. That comes straight to me. If I'm not at my desk, I've got my phone, and I can hear those emails coming in, and I can help you anytime.
All right, excellent. And pleasure to meet you, and good to know you now.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be a part of this wonderful atmosphere.
It is a great place. General, nice addition.
Yes, and you know, we don't have any classroom space out here, but what we've done
is a fan tail. I always wanted to have class outside, General.
We do that, but we've got a very special area that we've had to close to Scouts, and we haven't reopened the overnight program for Scouts, JROTC, yet. But in the forward berthing area where the Scouts have always stayed, we refurbished that during COVID, and we just finished a complete overhaul, top to bottom, cleaning, refurbishing, and painting. And that is our new educational space. And Amy will be having classes down there. We've got our IT company, Momentum IT, out here wiring for Wi-Fi so that we can do a lot of programming there. The whole 155 acres is a campus, of course, but we're very proud that we... And then if the kids get tired, depending on their age, if it's adults, too, they can go lay in the berths and rest. But... Here's what this new education program can do. We're going to reach out to the handicapped community, special needs as well. Did you meet Amy? I'm not sure if our new volunteer, they brought him by yesterday, but you will meet him because I said, Shay McLean, our curator, brought him by. And I said, what did you do in the Navy? He's a Navy veteran. He said, I was a navigator. I said, so celestial navigation? He said, I used to teach it. I told him about Amy, some of her early STEM activities she's getting together and teaching. We'll have a chance to talk about maybe an adult program for come out here on the Fantail where we don't have a lot of light noise and maybe do some celestial navigation.
I want in on that class.
Yeah, exactly. This is a gentleman that just came to us who I think probably tired of doing some honeydew projects, but wants to volunteer, and we've got some phenomenal people here. So we're glad to have Amy. She's just killing it, and she'll start with two anchor academies this summer.
Yeah, this summer we're going to be offering week-long anchor academies for kids who are out on summer break. Those 2 weeks are in June, the week of June 6th and the week of June 13th. Kids rising first through sixth grade can attend the daily academies that we're going to host here.
Okay, so I'm doing some processing on dates in my head for one of them in my house who fits that definition. Can we go online to get that information? What do we do if we were thinking about it? That sounds really cool, a summer camp.
I would love it if you could email me. We're going to be posting on our website the registration information and materials. It will also be posted on our social media. But yes, you can email me for more information or you can call me. We're going to be doing lots of fun stuff. We've got some scavenger hunts. We're going to be doing some STEM activities. We're going to be building with some Legos. We have all sorts of fun things that we're going to do.
You've just described one of my children, Amy. You've just described.
Describe you, Sean Sullivan.
Yeah, well,
Legos are awesome.
Yes, he's a chip off the old block. That is fantastic. Fantastic. So camp out here. We'll get that information too, and we'll have it at the station. If people want more info, you can just email me or text us at the station. We'll get it to you. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't slow down for y'all. I'm thinking about here this week, Friday, Saturday, into Easter Sunday. Y'all are wide open.
We are another busy week. This is Living History Crew Week. And sadly, for the first time, of course, COVID knocked out the last two crewman reunions. We will have no USS Alabama crewmen. Last year, two of our stalwarts who came every year, both were aged 100. Both of them died within a few weeks of each other. So we have several of those men living, but they will not be here. But for our activities in their memory, our friends Dixie Division Car Show come back this weekend, Friday, from noon to 5. We'll have military vehicles out here in the loop area displayed. And on Saturday, they'll be here from 8 to 3. And, of course, Living History Crew this weekend. The battle drills start about 1 o'clock. As we always discuss, yes, get here that morning, 11, 11:30 for a parking space. We do have a flyover planned. And then Sunday, more than 50 years of tradition with the Government Street Baptist Church, 6:30 a.m., their Easter sunrise service. Be part of that ceremony. And then next week is Volunteer Week. We thank all the people that come and volunteer with us.
So you want to thank volunteers, and you're still, just like this gentleman you just spoke of, you're open to new volunteers.
We are, always. We're glad to have you. We work on your schedule because you're a volunteer. You know what time you have available, and you'll enjoy it, I think, if you come out. So, and the Teak Deck.
This Teak Deck. Now, General, so you and I talked about this briefly in the past. I don't know if it was on air or off air. And then a news story came out about the Teak Deck replacement. And the people, because they know, I know you, have melted down the text line at the station asking about this. All right, so give me the info on what's happening with the Teak Deck, deck replacement on the Alabama.
Well, a number of years ago, and for decades, the Battleship Commission, the 18-member body that provides oversight, and my 18 bosses, have talked about replacing the deck. It's more than 80 years old. It is original teak, installed, probably finished about 1941, and it is long past time. A number of the other sister ships in the Historic Naval Ships Association fleet have replaced that deck, and this is a new kind of a system, a new application. It is teak, and it's a little bit different, but it is underway. We bid the project last year. We started a couple of years ago. The work started in December, and if you get a chance before you leave today, we'll walk you through the first of six phases, the tented area that you see. Everybody thinks we're having a big party up here with a tent, but we've got teak deck down, and it is gorgeous. So it's a 3-year, about an $8.5 million price tag. We're asking people to remember how the citizens of Alabama brought her home. We're asking people to think about sending a donation to help us defray the cost of that. We have some money. We're raising money. But it is going to be beautiful, and she will, I think, be a very proud lady when her deck is complete in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think I don't know if we do it in square footage or acreage here, General, of how much teak deck we're talking about. From the fantail up, we're looking at
about, I think, Bill Tunnell, our chairman of our commission, during the press conference, if I'm not mistaken, said it's about 22,000 square feet. Now, on the 01, the next level up, we will leave it original. We didn't have projected to be able to fund that restoration, but that will be original teak that the public will be able to go up one level off the main deck and say, oh, here is what the original deck looked like, and we will continue to care for it. So we've had a lot of inquiries, and I'll just tell the public we are working out as the Brits say, a scheme to come to grips on how we'll cut up the teak that we are removing, remediating, storing. There will be teak that we will, of course, be able to have for purchase. We've had so many inquiries.
That's the question. That's what's melting down my text.
That's right. And it's not anything we'll do anytime soon. We're going to have it set up so that when we announce to the public, they'll have all the information. But everybody's saying, put me in line because I want my piece of teak. And we'll make that happen.
Hey, put me in line. I want my piece.
I got you. The people, Amy, you've seen since you've been here, the people of Alabama have an emotional attachment to this ship. And, of course, to USS Drum, our submarine, because she is here. They're both National Historic Landmarks. But our people brought her home in 1964. And she opened, the park opened in January of 65. And talking about people stopping, I've had more people this year say, I've traveled by here for years. And I say, but today was the day. And they go, yes, today was the day we finally stopped. And we're so glad we did.
Hey, y'all make today the day, or maybe Friday or Saturday.
That's
for
right.
The Living History Crew.
That's right.
Or the Easter Sunrise Service.
What That's right. Absolutely.
You first. General, I appreciate your time. Amy, great to meet you.
It's great to meet you. Thank you so much.
All right. We're coming right back. More Midday Mobile live from the USS Alabama here at Battleship Memorial Park.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. We are live at Battleship Memorial Park aboard the USS Alabama right here on the Fantail. And I want y'all to say hello to my buddy, David McCrary, LCM Motor Cars. And I know we got some inventory to talk about for sure.
We do. Good afternoon, Sean. The weather's trying to get better for us. We have got some a lot of fresh inventory coming in, and it's coming in as we speak. I've got drivers coming from all over the place. I got two fly out tomorrow to go get vehicles, but two of the ones we've got are both Lexuses, both nice late model Lexus. One's a GS, and then one's a GS and a GX. Now, the GX is that big body, full-size Lexus utility vehicle, and it is some kind of nice.
Now, let's talk about the other part of this formula, and people worry about this. I've been asking you, like, very specifically over the last few weeks and months, rates, interest rates, are you still okay?
Interest rates are still great. I don't really see anything changing. I just feel like if they were going to change, they would have gone ahead and changed. But our rates are good. Our credit unions are still buying. Our secondary finance sources, to give you a second chance, they're in the game all the way right now, and we're ready.
All right. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 in Plantation in Theodore. Give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there he is, David McCrary, LCM Motor Cars. And coming up in a couple minutes, Cameron Smith's going to join me with AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. One of the pieces he put out probably maybe this time last week, maybe four or five days ago, on his opinion piece over at AL.com. This is fantastic. So, and Heidi and I did talk off the air about, wouldn't it be a good thing if we could have this? His piece is the first three bills Alabama Senate Republican candidates will file if elected. You know, we get in a lot of this discussion in the politics here of doing more to beat down the other candidate than to talk about how they would govern as a senator. Well, he called them to task, and he's got the first three bills Alabama Senate Republican candidates will file if elected. I think it's pretty good. Pretty good discussion, pretty good eye-opener, seeing what their priorities are, some that overlay, some that don't. And also on my radar is something I talked about yesterday. I was hosting Phil Williams' show up in Huntsville, and I talked about this a good bit there, and that's the latest ad from Governor Ivey. And I know Jeff played some cuts from it yesterday as well. If we have it queued back up at the studio, can we get the audio of the latest from the governor?
No way, Jose.
Oh,
that's why I sent next.
All right, did we? I heard no way, Jose, and then
I'm Jay Ivey. If Joe Biden keeps shipping illegal immigrants into our states, we all gonna have to learn Spanish. My message to Biden. No way, Jose.
All right.
That's why I sent national.
All right. So you get a taste of what's going on there, right? You've got No Way Jose ad, and Governor Ivey thinks, I guess in this ad, the most dangerous part of illegal immigration is a pandemic breakout of bilingualism in Alabama. We'll discuss that and a whole lot more with Cameron Smith when we come back. It's Midday Mobile. We're live on the battleship.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. It's Midday Mobile. We are live for the Fantail of the USS Alabama here at Battleship Memorial Park. Hopefully you get a chance to come by and see them over the weekend. You've got the military car show going on Friday, Living History Drill, which is... I put the videos and pictures up before on the social media feeds. I need to do that again. It's just what an experience here. If you just love history and want to see it come to life, that's happening on Saturday. And then Easter Sunrise Service here at 6:30 in the morning, conducted by Government Street Baptist Church. So a lot going on at the battleship. And, you know, I mentioned it to the General Janet Cobb, about the teak deck, because she's talking about it. But if you heard, because people were asking me here, I Can I get a piece of the teak deck? We're all working on that. The general said, hold on. So they're taking it up and they're stockpiling it. And then at some point in the future, and trust me, I'll let y'all know when that goes down, we'll have a chance to buy the 80-year-old original teak decking from the USS Alabama and help them pay for the new decking as well. All right, this segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. That's my buddy Trey. He's been doing it for 14 years plus now in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Here's the deal. You got junk. You need it gone. You need it out of your way. It could be at a storage unit. Could be at your house. Could be at your office. Could be in the shop, wherever. Could be in the backyard. It could be a swing set and a giant trampoline, an above-ground pool. I mean, up to, a whole storage shed in the backyard. They can take that all down and get it gone with 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and you can make a very old-fashioned appointment with them. What I mean is not that spectrum of time stuff. It's an appointment. You go online or get on the phone and contact 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and they'll find a day that works for you, window of time that works for you, and they book an appointment. That's when they show up. All you got to do is walk around and show them what you want gone, and they'll quote your price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done right then. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or like I said, the name is the phone number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, I want you all to say hello to my friend from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Cameron Smith. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm aboard the USS Alabama, man, doing a radio show. Life is pretty good. I've worked myself into quite a spot.
I love Battleship Park, but watch out for those fire ants, man. They like Battleship Park, too.
I got a story for you. I'll tell you off air. When first time I had the Cub Scouts out here with my son and his crew, and it had rained. And, of course, we all found the higher ground out in the big field to put the tents up because that's where the water wasn't. But that's where the fire ants were. But that's a whole other story. Hey, before we get into your op-ed piece that I think is brilliant here, I want to get your reaction to I played a clip here before we went to the news break of Governor Ivey's ad, the No Way Jose ad. And I just want to run through something so I can get a reaction. I had written some notes down before I headed out here. I said, all right, Governor Ivey in the No Way Jose ad, where she said the first thing when she was talking about moving illegal immigrants to states, which is an issue for the states. I'm not arguing with that. But she said, in that ad, she said Alabama would have to speak Spanish, right, if we continue this. What are your biggest concerns with illegal immigration? Is it violation of national sovereignty, social cost to American society, flow of deadly drugs across our border, human beings being trafficked into our country? Or, as the governor said, is it the danger of the breakout of a pandemic level of bilingualism in the state of Alabama? So, Cameron, your reaction.
I was amazed. I saw that. I'm like, really? Like that? Okay, that's strange. And by strange, I mean stupid. And I'm just hoping that Ivy can get reelected before she keeps running these ads that are, just too cute. It's like she's trying too hard. And she's running against Joe Biden as opposed to anyone in Alabama talking about issues that are very hard for Alabama to actually do anything about. It's just kind of silly.
It was, even if you want to say, okay, listen, I can make an argument on this one and say there is obviously a cost to states, a monetary cost and a social cost to states to have illegal immigrants in the states. We can sit here and we can run through stories for days on this.
Sure.
So if you could say we're not going to have the president dropping illegal immigrants in our state, bringing crime and drugs and human trafficking and those societal ills. But to say the big danger, number one on her list, and I think the governor's not acting like herself here. I think she's reading, a script that was written for her by a consultant. But the big issue would be having to speak Spanish in Alabama. Out of the things I fear coming from illegal immigration, a breakout of bilingualism, I just don't know that I would have led with that.
No, and I think the issue here is Biden's policies on the border have been abysmal. We've seen a flood of immigrants approaching the border all the time. I mean, it is a massive issue. I think he put Kamala Harris on it, and I think her response has basically been, I don't want it. I don't want to do this. It's a bad situation, and it's something that our policymakers in Washington, particularly the Republicans, need to address. It's just not abundantly clear for me, one, how the governor of Alabama is going to address that issue, and two, why in the world it matters about Spanish speaking. I mean, if Alabama education were so good that students in Alabama could all speak Spanish, might not be ranked dead last. I mean, so, you know, maybe there's a silver lining there.
Well said. We could continue that conversation. I see a bunch of people on the text line about it, but I do want to get to the piece you put out last week. And this is something that, there's these areas of, I mean, you and I don't agree on everything, which makes it fun to talk on the radio and to be friends. You know, that's a good thing. But this look at the people who are running for office, you and I look at this the same way. And you did something here that I think is of great value to the voters in the state of Alabama. I'm going to put this through on the Twitter feed. I want you all to read this. Your piece here, the first three bills Alabama Senate Republican candidates will file if elected. Now, talk about the process of deciding to do this and what you did and what you found out.
Well, I just got fed up with the empty ads and platitudes that were being thrown around. And particularly, a lot of it's just nonsense. And everybody knows it. And so I said, well, what are they actually going to do? They're going to introduce legislation. I need to come up with a way to ask them. And by the way, I don't want this article to be 400 pages long, so I'm going to give them a word limit. And I went to the candidates and said, hey, tell me what are the first three bills you're going to introduce. I'm not going to editorialize, and I'm just going to put it out there. To the best of my knowledge, they didn't coordinate it all. But clearly they're looking at the same information, because it basically was election integrity, then something about immigration, and then something about spending. That was in that order. And so that was what's crazy, is they had different styles, but basically the three of them said more or less the same thing.
And what I like about it, though, is without coordination between them, they're not just saying they're not just saying that this thing over here is a bad thing. You've narrowed the parameters of having to say, what will you do? What would you file? And I think, even though you see those lining up, and there are stylistic differences here for sure. But they are saying, they're going on the record. Everybody's always calling, get them on the record. Well, you got them on the record. What would be the first three bills? And I think this is a very worthwhile exercise as we look at, you know, how maybe the state of Alabama would be represented in the Senate, the only place where we get to punch at the same level of everybody else.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting stylistically is Mo Brooks came in with the bullet points. That's literally how I got the email from him, was bullet points, here's the things. And they are specific things, and some you can agree with, some you might disagree with, but there's some specifics to work with. Katie Britt came in with, it's more of a narrative, and it's explaining which specific pieces of legislation, again, provided specifics, but also a little bit more of the context around it. And then Durant was very much more general in his approach, and very much sort of about the, hey, well, we need to protect this Trump thing. We need to have this story. And I thought that was interesting in the style-wise, how they did come across as different. But they are on the record, and they did say, here's some things I want to do.
The spending part, of course, you know, I'm a moth to a flame, Cameron. You know me long enough. On fiscal issues, that's where I go first. I want to believe that's, you know, those would be in the first three bills, those, you know, if whichever one is senator would file. I do worry that the bar has been moved, and maybe, you know what, Mo Brooks has shown himself there to, I probably believe that, but the bar has been moved so much that the idea of the old school fiscal conservative seems lost in Washington. Am I right, or am I off base on this?
Obviously, you're right. The numbers bear that out. And I think the issue that folks have, and I've heard this a lot, I've had actually different bosses that have said this, that, you know, they want fiscal responsibility until the money is spent, until that appropriations bill actually happens, and then they want to get as much as they can for their state or district. And I think that mindset is what creates part of the problem, because it's, well, I'm going to oppose it, but once I lose, then I'll get mine for my people. And I get it, I understand it, but it just creates this sort of uncomfortable fiscal conservatism that's sort of there until it's not, versus saying, okay, does anyone have a real plan? It's one thing to say balanced budget amendment to the Constitution, but what's your plan to get us there from the absolute absurd drunken sailor spending that we're doing right now?
You know, I wonder if, and you know so much of the inside of Washington, if you tell me if this is a pipe dream or something that could happen, that almost it would be a pact that was agreed to beforehand, before any bill was in play, right? That fiscal conservatives would say, we're not going to do it this time. Even if we get, because I'm a homer, I'm a pragmatic person. I can see the argument. I can play devil's advocate and say, hey, if this bill is going to go through, might as well get yours while it's happening. But you almost need some kind of deal, some Article 5 declaration among you know, fiscal conservatives and the Republicans that nope, even if it looks good for you, you're going to vote no. You know, and I'm going to hold you to that, and you hold me to it.
Yeah, I think that you're right, Sean. We've reached a point where folks don't want actual fiscal accountability. They want to talk about the debt and say that it's out of control, but what we need is shared sacrifice. And that means that Democrats and Republicans have to say, something I want to spend money on doesn't get the money. And that's where we have a complete inability to do this stuff. And we've had different budget plans in the past. Wyden Gregg was one of them, where, you know, okay, we'll cut here, here, and here. But really the only things that work are just automatic cuts across every category that hit everybody equally and then are nonpartisan nature. But everybody hates those too, because immediately when there's a budget cut, it's, okay, who doesn't get their funding? I'll use Battleship Park as a good example. Let's say they were receiving federal funding, and then we do a across-the-board budget cut, and they're one of the priorities that gets left out. Well, folks would be really upset about that. And so that's the hard part about fiscal conservatism right now, is tell me how you're going to reduce spending down to the specifics of individual projects. And man, when you start getting into those individual states and districts, people get kind of defensive.
Yeah, I get it, and I can see both sides, because I can play the Homer card, right? I can be defensive of those things. I can say, well, you know what? Because Mississippi, Georgia, or Tennessee, or California, or Alaska, wherever, they're going to get it, so we need to get it too. It almost seems there has to be some pact beforehand, before the money gets doled, you know, or gets held out there, that you go, I want to, but I don't have a choice because I signed on to this thing or whatever. I made a deal with these other members of the Senate. You know, it's almost like you have to be held accountable.
I think that has to happen. But also, it has to happen across administrations, because part of the issue right now is, let's say you have a Democrat in the White House who's looking at where to make the cuts. There's a tendency to want to be more favorable to, you know, your areas and areas that you are have allies in. And same with the Republican administration. So not only does there need to be a deal in place in the House and Senate, but across administrations, they have to be dedicated to say, hey, guys, we're rolling this back. We're going to be spending less. Plan accordingly. I'm very much in favor of telling people what's going to happen and following through. You can't do this stuff overnight. Like, just enacting a balanced budget to the Constitution tomorrow doesn't fix the problem. It creates chaos. So instead, it has to be, hey, there's a plan to start rolling this back over however many years to get us to where we're not in trouble. And so far, nobody's been willing to lead on that.
You know, you're right. You have to have not just one somebody. I think you have to have a group of somebodies to lead on it. And I wonder if pressure would be applied by doing this, that you would have a scenario where you curtailed the amount of money being able to be spent. And in that, the parties themselves, they always talk about, well, they're going to go search out these, you know, these dead programs or these monkeys on cocaine or whatever, you know, whatever the allegory, I mean, whatever the story is. We want to talk about these wasteful spending things. If you said, listen, y'all aren't going to be able to get any more than X, whatever that number is, wouldn't that make those Democrats and Republicans both look into the things that were really their priorities And they would go after those other places and cut those things and the money there because they'd want to make sure they fully funded whatever it was in their district or whatever that was important. They would go after the things that didn't have support of voters out there and really go after that list. It would almost put the mission on them to go find the money elsewhere so they could fully fund the things they think are truly the most important.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, basically capping the appropriations bills in that way makes a lot of sense. The problem, and this is what we all politicians love to use this phrase, waste, fraud, and abuse. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there is waste, there is fraud, there is abuse, but most politicians don't support programs like, you know, let's go club fur seals. I mean, it's not stuff that's unpopular. It's popular. It's just how many people care about it. And that's the issue, is prioritizing between otherwise good priorities.
Cameron, as always, I appreciate our discussions. People want to read your opinion pieces or just check out what goes on day to day in the world of Cameron Smith. How do they find you online?
Just follow me at @dcameronsmith on Twitter or al.com/opinion. You can find my stuff, but please join the conversation.
All right, there he is, Cameron Smith. Big thank you to him. We're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile live from the USS Alabama. We're right here on the Fantail. And coming up at 1 o'clock, Scuttlebutt Radio Network takes over. And remember, we'll be out here, though, till 2 o'clock. So if you got a chance, you're out here, you want to stop by and say hello, I'll be outside the van here starting in just about 15 minutes. All right, go to the news, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile live from the Fantail of the USS Alabama. Love doing radio shows here. Another place I love doing a radio show, and actually it's coming up pretty soon. We're going to be out with our friends at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. But I join them on the telephone right now and talk to my friend Angelo. Hey, man.
Hey, man. How you doing out there today?
I mean, I'm on the battleship doing a radio show. Life is good. Yeah, no arguments.
Life
no.
is awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, it is awesome. Also, I got to get a checkup with you on where we are with precious metals this week. It's been quite a subject here over the last month or two.
It has, and they're starting to run again. Prices are starting to climb. So last week, everything sort of stabilized for a little bit. Now gold is hovering around 1975. Silver is hovering real close to 26. And, you know, we're still getting stuff in. Just had a bunch of gold and silver come in today. I've got more silver coming in tomorrow. The product is still flowing in, but the lead times are stretching out a little bit further. So folks placing large orders are going to have to be a little bit patient.
All right. Well, it sounds like also on the supply side, y'all might be looking for people that are ready to sell.
Certainly. Anybody's got a large gold or silver collection or even just one piece, come by the shop. We would love to make you an offer. You know, and people with large collections wanting to know how they can get the best money out of it. Do they have to ship it off somewhere? You don't. We can handle it right here in town. We'll talk about it, work with you, and figure out the best way to maximize your investment when you're cashing out.
All right, Angelo, if people are for some reason have not been there in the real world before, give them those directions and talk about the radio show and online and all that good stuff.
Yeah, all the kind of ways they can track us down. We're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. Online, MobileBayCoins.com. Of course, you can like and follow us on Instagram and on Facebook and check all the cool stuff that we have coming in all the time. And you can also listen to us talk about coins, gold and silver, precious metals, you name it, every Tuesday night right here on FM Talk 106.5 with two guys and some change from 6 to 7 p.m. If you miss it there, you can also look up Two Guys and Some Change as a podcast. Listen to it that way.
All right, Angelo, we'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one, sir.
YouTube, Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And so many texts coming in here. I'll tell you what, while the Scuttlebutt Radio Network is doing their thing, I'll be answering y'all on the text line. It's Tom, it's Cal, it's a show by veterans, for veterans, right here at Battleship Memorial Park aboard the USS Alabama. Couldn't be better. Those gentlemen take over next. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow for Midday Mobile.